What the Health with George Bertineau on FUBAR Radio.
Good morning and welcome to What the Health on FUBAR Radio with me, George Bertineau. If you're a regular listener, then welcome back. And if you're new around this neck of the woods, then here's a small bit of information about myself. I'm an online health and fitness expert. I have a BSc in sports rehabilitation and I'm a former head of medical performance in professional football. I've been a health and fitness expert for over a decade, and I've been helping real people feel better, move smarter, and get incredible results. If you are sick of dodgy influencers or people with incredible genetics giving you health advice online, you're in the right place, because every week I help you cut through the confusion and the chaos of the internet. We discuss relevant topics, and we help you get clarity on these topics, so that you can make better decisions in your own health and fitness journey. Each week, I'll be joined by expert guests as we dissect trends and bust myths. Later on the show, I'll be joined and speaking with Brooke Oden, who has a role in faith in training. But joining me now will be Charlie Wright, who makes electrolytes and sachets to support daily hydration and not just recovery post-exercise. Charlie, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Thank you. How about yourself?
I'm good. Thank you very much for asking. So we're going to dive straight into it. Okay. A quarter of the UK's adults are now taking electrolytes regularly. So a simple question would probably be, what is an electrolyte?
Look, we can have various different definitions. I think the way we like to come into this is a super simple analysis that electrolytes are essentially minerals that our body needs every day to function properly. The different electrolytes can help different bodily functions. But I think the main bit that we want to move away is that hydration and electrolytes are not just an athletic pursuit, one that, you know, people of a certain body shape or athletic performance should be taking. It's one that we think is a universal need rather than a niche one.
Yeah. Okay. And why are they becoming so popular? You know, what are their main benefits? Because there's been a big increase in popularity recently, and I'll go on to, you know, asking other questions regarding that afterwards. But why do you think they're becoming more popular, and what are the main benefits?
Yeah, look, I think it's a combination of two things, and I think it's more societal, less, you know, the electrolyte piece. Our bodies have always needed the same things. Yeah. But I think the one difference between, you know, a human body 100 years ago and a human body now is, largely speaking, what we put ourselves through on a daily basis. And so life is difficult for a lot of people for various different degrees. We are moving our bodies in lots of different ways. We're putting ourselves through a lot more stress than maybe previously. And so I think to a degree, lifestyle's having a huge effect, which leads me on to my second point, especially post-COVID. I think there is a real shift in consumerism around wanting more function from the products that they're buying, whether that be a drink, whether that be a food source, whether that be a product you're buying. People want more and better function for what they're buying. I think there's a real big shift now. And I'll use two examples to sort of give context to that. Like, people are moving away from sugar.
Yeah.
And they're looking for non-sugar alternatives. There's a function benefit there immediately. I think the other one, and I think is really interesting to look at, is the rise of matcha over the last sort of 2-3 years. And you look at now, you know, matcha sales in some of the bigger chains globally are taking 40-50% of sales away from caffeine. You know, people are looking for alternatives. They want more function without the trade-off. And ultimately, I think the electrolyte category is part of that. People are wanting better alternatives to what they've been taking before. And so as a natural sort of evolution to consumerism and where our lifestyles are going, I think electrolytes play into that same sort of category as well.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with you in regards to that. And I think the thing is, right, there's a, like you said, post-COVID, there's been a big increase in, well, a decrease in partying and a big increase in health, fitness, lifestyle. You know, there's a big stat, obviously, about the younger generation who, you know, there's a big spike in people doing health and fitness, you know. So we're seeing a big increase in the younger generation with this. Now, you mentioned that it was originally people used to take electrolytes because they were athletes, and now we're moving on to everyday people. You know, Why is this? Is it because of the increase, like you've said? Is it because we're realizing that our lives are changing and the demands are different, or is there more to it?
I think, look, what I will say is that electrolytes are not new. You know, they haven't been invented in the last 5 years. As a body of people, we have been utilizing the benefits of electrolytes since the start of time. That's the reality of it. But what's happened, I think, again, comes down to, and from the hydration report that we published specifically in the UK last month, is that four in five people are struggling with symptoms of dehydration. There's a crazy stat as well we uncovered that I think 40% of people are drinking, sorry, 30% of people are drinking less than a liter of water a day.
It's frightening, isn't it?
It is frightening. And so ultimately, what that boils down to is that people are not giving themselves the fuel they really need. And unfortunately, it ties back into that point I made earlier around consumerism. Consumerism has taught us now to have everything but what our body really craves. You know, with the rise of energy drinks, caffeine now, you know, I mean, I'm not saying I'm this perfect guy who wakes up and doesn't, you know, have caffeine in the morning. Like, I love a coffee, like the majority of people do. But what has happened is that people then are neglecting their hydration needs. Now, electrolytes, I'm not here trying to just say that, you know, you can only get them in drinks. Of course, electrolytes can be consumed through food choice as well. But ultimately, what we've seen, it's clear in the data, is that people are not making, you know, those food choices or drink choices that are conducive for the electrolyte balance that our body needs. And so ultimately, from a brand level perspective, we thought, can we try and find a mechanism to help people and encourage people to drink more water and ultimately get the electrolytes their body needs that they're probably not getting or supplementing from their normal diets? So this isn't new. Electrolytes are not new, but I just think that the neglect we have, and everyone knows it, right? You ask 10 people, 10 of your friends, like they'll say, oh, I should be drinking more water. Like, we know what the problem is, and yet we're still not fixing it. And so to a degree, electrolytes are not new, but really shifting this mindset that they're not just for sports performance is really important to us as a brand and to me as a person as well.
Yeah, and I mean, it's definitely something that, I mean, literally what you just said about, you know, go and ask 10 people. I spoke to X amount of clients yesterday, and I'm pretty sure a third of them were like, yeah, I wasn't good enough with my water this week. You know, they knew straight away, they knew that's one of my questions. You know, what's your hydration levels been like? What's your sleep been like? These are important things. And I think it's really smart because I speak to more people than I should probably that say they don't enjoy the taste of water. But I think what you said is really good
It's
there.
boring, right? Come on, it's like it's no two ways about it. Like, water is boring.
I love it. I'm
Oh,
obsessed.
really?
Yeah, I only drink bottled water. I come from a French background, so we've only ever had bottled water. You don't really drink tap water,
That's
so.
like, we call that like sexy water, right? Like, that's
Yeah.
beautiful. If
Yeah.
I'm just hitting you up with a glass of tap water, if you come around to my house,
No.
you're probably like, what
Yeah.
else have you got?
Yeah, I'm literally asking you, what else have you got? I'm getting on the hard liquor straight away. So yeah, I think it's really smart what you guys are trying to do with obviously changing the flavor of, you know, you've got so many flavors, but you're changing water as such. You know, people go for juices. I'm not a big fan of a juice. I don't ever recommend a juice. I actually say to people, you know, have an electrolyte with your water if you don't like the taste of water. Now, can you have too much water per? Obviously, you guys do sachets and other brands do tablets. We're going to get on to that question in a second. But can you have too much water with a portion of an electrolyte?
So I think that there's a wider question to be answered there first and foremost, and that's around like the hydration electrolyte piece. And one thing I do want to get on top of, and it bodes well into the reason why you drink bottled water, is that the quality of water, where you're getting your water from, is directly proportional to probably the electrolyte quality of that water as well. Unfortunately, everyone knows they should be drinking more water, and yet they don't do it. But what they don't realize is not all water is as good as other water. I, if you're drinking, you know, that probably more expensive mineral water in a bottle from a shop, it has got electrolytes in it, which is much better for you. So to be hydrated, the way we look at it is that you need to be both the water fluid hydrated, but also minerally hydrated as well. And what we have seen, and you've seen, you'll read these awful stories in the papers about people drinking too much water and getting exceptionally sick, or worst case, you know, really ill off the back of it. And that's because they're not minerally hydrated. They're basically flooding their bodies, and the cells are just not absorbing that fluid. Effectively, it's pointless. So, like, quality of water is really important. When it comes to electrolytes, again, on the too much piece, it's depending on what the mineral balance, of course, you can have too much of anything, and too much of anything is bad for you. But if we look at one serving, especially if I just look at a Humantra serving, really the water boils down to taste.
Okay.
And so personally, I have 700 ml of water with my sachets because I actually like a slightly weaker taste.
Yeah.
And it helps me drink that little bit more water. There's one flavor we have, which we dropped in Ramadan this year, earlier this year, which is apricot. And I drink that in about 450, 500 mils. So it's purely taste.
So, so it's more concentrated.
The key bit is if you have one sachet in 3 liters of water, it may take you over a day to drink it, which obviously defeats the problem of getting the electrolyte in your system. So you want to try and keep the window in a sort of 40, you know, an hour window to make sure you're using, drinking that amount of water in probably in less than an hour.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know about the actual window. I obviously knew that I knew drinking one electrolyte or one tablet or one sachet throughout the day is borderline pointless, but it's technically not at the same time because doing it is better than not doing it, right? But, you know, it kind of defeats the objective of it. Yep. Okay, that leads me on to my question about you guys and your company produce, obviously, sachets. Yep. Why specifically sachets? Is it the best way to do it? Have you found that you didn't like tablets because they broke down in the tubes, or is there something to it?
It's entirely not science whatsoever. I think this is more of a fundamental sort of way I view life. And I suppose we as a business view it as well, is that health should be shared and we want to try and encourage positivity. And like we say, like Humantra isn't a silver bullet. You don't have the product and you're everything. You know, we've had so many messages over the years of people saying, can I take one sachet and I don't have to drink any more water ever again? Those types of questions. We're like, absolutely not. It's just like one part. We always think, can we be a conduit to better behavior throughout the day? And so the reason why a sachet is really important to us is because if we just put the powder in a bag, you'd never be on the tube being like to your friend, like, I'll give this amazing thing a go and like trying to pour some powder. You'd never do it. But I've in so many occasions, I've witnessed it firsthand of a sachet exchange, which to me, it may sound romantic, is symbolic of you sharing something positive with somebody else.
Yeah.
And I think that as a business and as a brand, is really important to us that you share good with other people. And that's why we focus on sachets from the start.
No, it's smart. And I actually quite like the concept. Now you mentioned it, I was always like, well, I suppose if you gave a tablet to someone, you've either got to give them the sleeve of tablets or you've got to remove it and put it in a bag. Or
never get a bag of protein and be like, oh, this protein powder is brilliant. Like, give this a go, on the tube or in the gym with somebody. Yeah. But if you have a sachet to share, you might go and try this. Yeah. And that's really where that concept is so important to us.
Yeah, I like that. It's a lot more user-friendly and it's shareable as well. And I guess that's how things grow, right? So what makes Humantra so different to other brands?
I think, look, there's a multitude of different things we can say. I think one thing I will say, and when I look at the category, is that it's still very early innings. Like electrolyte consumption, as we've seen, is still fairly nascent. It's not like everyone is adopting it like protein, probably, you know, it's probably where protein was maybe 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
People were sort of understanding the benefits of protein. Whereas now you see people buying protein bars in gas stations.
Oh, yeah, of course. It's through the roof and, you know, science has proved that, right?
So, I think category is still very early. What we're really bullish on is being really singular with function. Mm. You're seeing people now getting super confused, layering in, we've got X, Y, Z in the product, and people ultimately go, I don't know. And I think when we came to developing the formula, I referenced the Walkman story. And when Walkman was designed, there was a real key inflection point of, do we put loads of function on a Walkman and expect people just to think it's amazing? Or do we just allow it just to play music?
Yeah.
And when you're launching something sort of so revolutionary like the Walkman, they decided to be really simplistic and more people will adopt if it's singular in function.
Yeah.
So for us, we're purely an electrolyte business. We are focused on hydration as our sole and only goal. I think then from a product specific lens, like flavor is incredibly important to us. I think the reality of it is that one thing we think we're really good at is bringing new people into the category for the very first time. And I have, for a long time, I have held my nose and knocked back supplements and trying to mask them in protein shakes. And ultimately what I found is that if it tastes rubbish, there's friction and people will stop.
Yeah.
But if it's good, then it's an easier way of building a habit. It's why the brand's called Humantra. Like, mantra is key to us. It's about this daily pursuit of consistency, and something that tastes great that you look forward to is really important to us. And I think the final bit in terms of formulation, you know, we know there's multi-need states when it comes to hydration, but as an entry point as a brand, we're really bullish on being pretty sort of encompassing with an everyone, every day, everywhere policy. So we've got children using the product, we've got, you know, my mum's in her 70s, we have best in class athletes using the product, we've got busy professionals, you know, whether you're running late for a meeting or you're running a marathon, like, we have a product that really fits a broad demographic, which is really important to us.
Huge.
So I think that you look at obviously the narrative we have around being a hydration specialist, flavor being incredibly important, and that more sort of broader composition of minerals and vitamins that really help people's sort of daily pursuits, probably what are the key differentiators for Humantra and other brands.
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting what you said as well at the start, like flavor. How many times have you bought a shake, a drink, and you've had one swig of it and you've gone, God, I've got to get through another 40 servings of this. This is horrible.
I kid you not, when I was a kid, my mum made me take cod liver oil off
a
spoon.
Yes, on the spoon.
Off a spoon. Yeah. Off a spoon. And she wouldn't even, she was like, no, you have that. I was like, mum, I can't even tell you how bad this tastes.
Yeah.
And she finally, both my mum and dad finally tried it, and they immediately went and bought me tablets.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, and that, I mean, I'm 35 now, and that was probably 30 years ago. Mm. And that's obviously, you can clearly see that's been ingrained in my head for 30 years. So like, scarf, my around, yeah. I need flavor.
Yeah, okay. Right, final question, okay? Where do you see Humantra, is Humantra?
Humantra, yeah. Literally a combination between humans and mantra. We just put them together and you've got the brand name.
Sorry, I hate it if I butcher names and stuff. So where do you see Humantra going in the future as a brand and a leading electrolyte company?
Look, we're exceptionally bullish on the category. And like I said at the start of the show, that, you know, hydration is not just a niche need. This is a universal one. Mm. And so we are very bullish on building that story, help building out that category. For us as a brand, we're purely omni-channel. So that means that, you know, we sell online, but we've also, especially in the UK, we're launching to 1,200 Boots stores,
right?
Which has been brilliant for us in the last sort of 9 weeks, like a sort of watershed moment for us, but really exciting, which means that more and more new people are coming into the category. Mm-hmm. I think one thing we're sort of super proud of is it's a lot of incremental business to Boots, i.e. there's a lot more new people coming into the category.
Yeah.
And so like that, as a job and as a founder of a business, that's what we want to do. We want to help bring more people into the category. Mm-hmm. As a founder, I'm really bullish on three categories. Protein obviously being one, which we're not part of.
Yeah.
I think the gut still has, and fiber has a huge sort of role to play over the next however many years, and hydration, all of which are exacerbated by GLP-1 drugs as well. So there's obviously a real key need for these categories to be built out. Mm. Now, the one thing that excites me the most from a founder lens perspective is that you drink a protein shake and you don't feel stronger.
No.
You know, you have a gut supplement and you have to trust it works. You don't feel any benefits. Mm. But the beauty of a hydration and an electrolyte product, especially one like ours, is when you taste it and you try it, you do immediately feel the positive benefits. And so like from a marketing lens, the more people we can showcase the benefits of optimal hydration, the better. So for us, it's like more, but under that real simple guise that electrolytes are for everyone and not just athletes.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think that's great. And it's exciting. I'm excited for you as a brand, as a company. And this is great. And it's been a really interesting and insightful conversation. So thank you so much for your time, Chris. Where can the listeners at home find you and your wonderful sachets?
And mate, I think the easiest place would be at your Boots High Street stores. Obviously, we're launching 1,200 stores, so I will probably say you can find us in your nearest Boots. On humantra.co.uk is our website, and then on social, we're at Humantra as well.
Right, guys. Coming up after the break, I'll be speaking to Brooke. Stay tuned.
Fubar Radio. Politics Uncensored.
We kind of act like COVID didn't happen. Well, do you think it's had a lasting impact, at least on that young generation that experienced it?
The legacy of it in schools, you see the legacy of it in people's mental health. We're seeing the legacy of it even in public services, even in hotels, hospitality. Everything was stripped back to the bone, and the UK did not have the resilience to recover. So I think we are still definitely living in a post-COVID society where nothing really works as well as it did. If you think things were damaged by Brexit, things were double damaged by COVID.
You're listening to Fubar Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all Fubar shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for Fubar Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. The Fubar Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search Don't Get Caught Out.
When you go abroad, everyone knows the best way to make yourself understood is to just say everything in English, but louder.
Four beers, please, garçon!
If only there was a way that could work with your advertising campaign. Well, there is. And you're listening to it. Because when you amplify your advertising with radio, 40 million listeners every week get the message. See radio differently at radiocentre.org.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on Fubar Radio.
Danny Harmer, hello.
Thank you, what an introduction.
I heard in an interview, this may no longer be the case, but in 2020 you said you never actually read the original Tracy Beaker.
I've still never read it, and I'm gonna go down with this ship, and quite frankly, I shall never read it. I've got this far in life. And do you know what? I think it's kind of, in a weird way, I think it helped me get the part, because I had no idea of this character apart from the character that I made her.
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum on Fubar Radio.
You might then see friends, family that require a little bit of support, financial advice. How do you go about sharing that advice, sharing that support without being condescending?
A practical tip that everyone can do that is low friction, send them financial content that you like. If you have a favorite content creator, if you see an article that you like, send them the video and just ask them, what do you think? And then that can begin a conversation around it.
Follow us at What The Health Show for more with Georges. This is What The Health.
Welcome back to What The Health on Fubar Radio with me, Georges Bertineau. Joining me now in the studio is Brooke Oden, who is PT, nutritionist and gut health practitioner, who also runs a faith-based workout session, Pump and Praise. Brooke, welcome. How are you? Thank you.
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you very much. Thank you so much for joining us in the studio. Appreciate it. How was the journey?
It wasn't too bad. I usually hate driving into London, but it wasn't during rush hour, so it was fine.
You drove. Okay. Yeah. Risky. Yeah. We don't like driving around London. It's not the best. Anyway, we're going to jump straight into this, okay? So, can you please kick us off by explaining what Pump and Praise is and how it began?
Okay, so Pump and Praise is the ultimate worship and workout experience. And so if you're not a believer, you might not know what exactly that entails. Mm-hmm. But essentially, we basically work out to upbeat gospel music. And I think when people hear that, they think gospel, they think, hallelujah. No, that is not it at all. If you listen to gospel music that's out now, if you don't pay attention to the lyrics, you think it's just like any other mainstream song.
Okay.
And so it's just a way to get women to look after their bodies and literally just have a good time, praise God, and look after their body, which is a temple.
I love that because it's something very different. And my biggest thing, as I say to people and my clients, is it's about finding something that works for you. Mm. Everyone's like, oh, this works best, CrossFit, High Rocks, bodybuilding, blah, blah, blah. No, the one thing that works for you is the one that you stick to and that you do time and time and time again, but you also enjoy going to.
1,000,000%.
Yeah, so that's great. Okay, so what would a typical Pump and Praise session look like and feel like? So you said you obviously work out to gospel music.
Yes.
Explain.
People see the highlights and they think it's all like, oh, fun and laughing. Yeah. It is a full-on workout to the point that they humble me. Just quick rewind, backtrack story.
Yeah.
When God gave me the idea to do this, I did not want to do it because I don't actually do bodyweight workouts. I'm a weightlifter.
Nice.
I'm, you know, the hip thrust and all that good stuff. So the thought of doing like hit, star jumps, burpees, forget it.
Yeah, second that motion.
Yeah, no, ain't nobody got time for that. Yeah. No, I ain't trying to do all that.
Yeah.
It's not cute, it's none of that. So I really was hesitant about doing it, but I just had to be obedient.
Yeah.
And but essentially, when you come to a pump and praise session, at first there's worship, so we listen to like worship music.
Okay.
And then there's like an opening prayer, and then we literally just start warming up to a gospel track.
Mm-hmm.
We do different, they're not dance routines, but I guess we'll see their fitness, you know, exercise moves to the rhythm of the song.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So we do that. Then there's like challenges, there's games. So for women, there's the pull-up competitions, press-up competitions, burpee competitions, prizes have given away. And then after, it's just like worship again, closing prayer, and then fellowship, which is essentially just spending time getting to know each other. But it's just a wonderful atmosphere. Like, I know I'm going to be biased about it, but it is really incredible.
Yeah, but you're proud of it. You know, like you said, God came to you with the idea and you didn't want to do it. And then you were like, oh, okay, I'm going to do it. Give it a go.
Mm.
And you did it once. Mm. And what was the initial reaction when you did it once?
So, one of the reasons why I didn't, I'll just backtrack again. One of the reasons I didn't want to do it is, apart from the fact that I'm not into the whole workouts thing, I felt like because I had like my come to Jesus moment last year, I felt like I'd become too Christian for the people who aren't believers.
Maybe quite quickly.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then for the ones who have been in the faith for a long time, to be like, who is she? Like, what's she doing? So I felt like I had that sort of like imposter syndrome, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I
felt like I wasn't qualified, but I decided to do it anyway. So the first time we did a launch, which was April, literally 4 months ago yesterday, we did a launch in April, which was in London. And there was around 30 girls. And I did that with another woman of faith called Zoe Alexandra. Shout out to Zoe, incredible woman. And then there was demand to do classes after that. And I was like, okay, cool. And I did it. And only about 10 girls showed up. Okay. And I was so disheartened. I was like, oh my God, no. Like, and I've always said that if I was doing it for money and profit, I would have ended it a long time ago because we were operating deep in the red. Like the cost of hire, studios and
DJs. It can get expensive.
Especially in London. So I was discouraged, but obviously God told me just keep going. And then literally the next one just blew. We sold out literally like a few days before. And then after that, there's been demand and demand and demand.
Wow.
And now we're going to Manchester, Birmingham. Right. Yeah, it's God's been good.
So a sellout is how many people?
It depends on the venue.
Okay.
We actually did an event at Ealing Wimbledon Church on Friday. And I think there was just under 70 people. For that one, yeah. And you have to be quite mindful of the space and the room because obviously you need space. You need to be able to do everything.
It's not just a workout. It's, you know, like you said, there's moments of praise, there's the warm-up, there's the challenges, there's, you know, there's the moments at the end, there's a community part at the end. So, wow. So, you know what's really interesting is you saying, oh, there was only 10 people.
Mm.
I think people forget how many 10 people actually is. It's like a classroom.
Mm.
It's like the start of a classroom.
Yeah.
And then you're on 70 people. Well, that's a university lecture hall. That's a lot of people.
That is, do you know what's funny you should say that? Because I had a Bible study call last time and we're talking about how social media has sort of, what's the word?
Comparison is the thief of all joy.
It is.
Basically every week.
It is. But let's say, for example, you post a picture and you get like 10 likes. You might think, oh my God, it's only 10 likes. But if you walk down the street and 10 people compliment you, you'd be like, God damn. Like,
you're that's
just. Exactly. So I think we just kind of, we forget that.
But that's it. That's why, again, I've spoken about social media on here before. I am a big believer of if I didn't use it for my job, I probably wouldn't have it.
1,000,000%.
Do not care about it, but I have to for my job, and I have to use it for good. I have to use it to encourage people for the right things. I do not post stuff that I do not believe in.
Same.
I've had mentors being like, post this, post that, and I'm like, no. They're like, why?
Yeah.
And I'm like, because it's not true. Mm-hmm. It's a lie. I do not want to spread rubbish because for me, I want to be that person of influence. All I want to do is influence one person.
I literally say the same thing.
One person.
That's it. If you've done that, you've done your job.
I've done my job.
Yeah.
You know. So anyway, let's go back onto you. So How do you balance the physical workout with the spiritual encouragement during the sessions?
So I always say that the workouts hit different when God is in the room, when the Holy Spirit is your spotter.
Energy is different.
Energy is just, it is just different. Like, you even see it. At first you see the women, they're a bit more, not resistant, but they're just kind of standing there. You can see some of them are not in a moment.
And a bit shy as well, maybe.
Shy, they don't know what to expect. You know, they've just come in. This is a fairly new concept. Like I said, we've only started in April. And by the end of the workout, the sessions, you see the women literally, some are in tears, some are crying, some are giving, it's just incredible. But I think literally by working out to gospel music, period, it's already going to do that, in a sense that I'm very aware and a firm believer that what you consume will affect your life, if that makes sense. So what you listen to, which is why I stopped listening to a lot of secular music, stopped watching a lot of things at all. And I just thought, and that's how I even came to, and I started working at the gym, I started working out to like upbeat, like gym playlists.
Yeah.
And then I thought, oh, wouldn't it be, like God put the idea on my heart, but wouldn't it be incredible if we could do that? And lo and behold.
I mean, it's a great idea, because, so I'm not a person of, an individual of religion. Mm-hmm. I have looked at it in the past. Mm-hmm. So the question to you is, is it all religions? Is it a particular religion that you have join you? How does that work in regards?
So I'm a Christian.
So you're a Christian.
And I will say that a lot of us believe that's not a religion. It's more of a relationship with God. Yeah, it's a relationship with God. And I had my come to Jesus moment last year. Mm. And I said there's a difference between believing and following.
Okay.
A lot of people believe, but they don't follow. Because if they did, their lifestyle choices, you'd see a difference.
I believe in a higher person being, but I don't know what.
Yeah. It's God, honey. It's God. It's God.
So,
it's Christian. Okay. So we listen to, Christian songs, gospel music, from like gospel artists, Afrobeats, R&B, soca, the whole lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. Okay. So it's predominantly Christian and, well, it is fully Christian.
Yeah.
That you don't get anyone else.
But it is welcome to everyone. Yeah, I always say welcome, you don't have to be Christian to come.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, at the end of the day, it's still a form of exercise. And like you said, it's about the energies in the room and how you feel things. And so, you know, it has a really good place. And I think I go back to my first point, is it's so different. Yeah. How many women do you think, do you get men as well?
No, it's strictly for women.
Strictly women. Yeah, okay, strictly love women. Because I don't like the way dudes are towards women in gym environments.
You ain't gotta tell me twice. Yeah.
So weird.
And like, I also believe, like, do you do personal training? Have you ever
done
it?
Yeah, I coach. Yeah,
I was going to say, I always find it, I just don't find it genuine if a guy approaches me to coach them as a personal trainer. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Yeah, it's just like I see what you're doing. Yeah. I see what you're doing. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, my biggest thing is I would never approach a girl at my gym to try and chat her up. And people are like, why? Like, you know, you think she's cute. I'm like, yeah, but great. She's here to work out.
Yeah.
I'm here to work out. This isn't a bar. This isn't a club.
It's not.
If I meet her downstairs and she's having coffee, maybe it's different.
Do you know what it is? I think that's the harassment versus flirting argument.
Okay.
Do you know what that is?
Okay, go on.
So two people can do the exact same thing. And if you find one person attractive, you won't mind. But if you find a person, it's like, what are you doing? You're great. But
true.
If you're into them, listen, I'm telling you, I don't think a lot of girls would mind if you hit them up on the gym. But flirting versus harassment.
Okay.
That's what it is.
Okay, interesting concept.
But I agree with what you're saying.
I mean, everyone asks me to spot them. I'm like, why are you asking me?
You know what they're asking. You know what they're asking.
So, a big community focus, right? Tell me more about the whole community focus. You know, do you have a WhatsApp group? Do you have a Facebook page? I'm assuming you got Instagram for it as well. Yeah. So like, how do you build the community? Is it more than just the sessions as well?
1,000,000%. So because it's still a fairly new concept, I was trying to figure out how to go about things. But we're on Instagram, we're on TikTok, we're on YouTube. Okay. And the community itself is on Discord. And a lot of people are not familiar with Discord, but I do it on there over WhatsApp just because you get creeps on WhatsApp. You might not want to share your personal number and all of that good stuff. So Discord helps with that.
Okay, fine. So Discord is where you guys are. I mean, we'll plug everything at the end. We'll talk about, we'll plug the channels at the end and stuff. Okay. So the importance of creating a space for both religion and exercise, you know, does that change the atmosphere compared to like regular fitness classes? Because a regular fitness class, you know, I still think a lot of fitness classes don't actually do that much.
Facts.
Yeah, see? Facts. See, you're in agreement. Yeah, you're a coach, yeah. You're a PT, you know how it works.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just a glorified excuse to be shouted at or make yourself move a little bit more.
Yeah.
But like, you know, these watches are about anywhere between 20 and 50% inaccurate.
Yeah, they are.
So stop taking them for, oh, I've done 1,000 calories. No, you haven't. You really haven't, trust me. So, you know, you're not even sweating. Mm. So, you know, so yeah, I'll go back onto what I was saying is, you know, do you feel that there's a big change compared to like a normal fitness class and obviously what you guys do? The structure, yes, very different.
Mm.
The music, very different, the whole thing. So, yeah.
So I do believe there is, in a sense that, firstly, from feedback alone, a lot of women were like, wow, I didn't expect to work out that much. Or a lot of women said this is the first time they've even worked out in years because they don't feel comfortable in the gym.
Yeah.
And I think that's another reason why I curate like a female only environment, just because some women do feel self-conscious training in front of men, or just, yeah, they just don't have that ability or that confidence.
Yeah.
But in terms of how they say, oh my gosh, like I'm aching, or, you know, the stretches, the cool downs, just from start to finish, the testimonies are very compelling in the sense that they speak for themselves, where the women say, like, yeah, that was a workout. That was a workout.
Nice. And do you do all of the programming yourself? Do you do it with your friend, your colleague, Zoe?
No. So Zoe's a minister, so she actually just speaks. She's not Okay. So I do everything myself, which is why it was such a like, oh my God, what am I doing? Because I do not do fitness classes. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
And so,
but you know the best exercise, you know the concepts, you know how to PT, you know how to coach. So you probably have a really good idea of incorporating it. It's like, how do I make it work?
Yes.
It's like a car with no wheels, or having wheels and no chassis or whatever. No. Like, you get what I mean? It's like you have the pieces.
Yes, but because they've all been body weight exercises is why I had to really like think, okay, like what move would go with this song? Because, you know, there's only so many squats and star jumps you can do. Yeah, so it's been challenging, but it's been fun.
Okay. Would you ever look at incorporating weights?
Definitely.
Barbells, dumbbells, kettlebells, that whole kind
the
of
the whole
shebang.
Whole shebang. It's on the bingo cards for sure.
Okay, nice. Do you see physical fitness as a form of worship or self-care?
Both.
Okay.
Both. So the Bible says that our bodies are temples. And I think that's where it actually comes from. They're saying that your body's a temple.
Body's a temple, yeah.
And so we need to look after it both physically and spiritually. Mm-hmm. And I get on to believers and say, you know, you can quote scripture, but you can't even walk up a flight of stairs without being out of breath. Like, you need to be able to practice what you preach.
Yeah.
But self-care, because I started fitness for very vain reasons. It was self-care. It wasn't this whole faith-based thing.
Yeah.
It was to look after myself, you know, I gained loads of weight after COVID. So I was like, what is going on?
What is this?
Yeah, so it was to get into shape, but just to be able to realize that your body and workouts are actually worship.
Yeah.
When you realize that connection, it just changes everything.
And you frame that to members, community members, people when they're
1,000,000%
interested, you know, because some people might be like, oh, I don't really like fitness.
Mm.
But it sounds like it's so much more than just doing a workout
class.
It is,
definitely. We say we're open to all ages, all backgrounds, all faiths. So I think the oldest person we've had in our class was 70.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
Yeah. She was 70.
Oh, I love that.
I know. And my mom saw that. She's like, oh, I've got to go now. I said, girl, you got no excuse.
Come on, Mumsy.
70.
You're coming.
Yeah. She's been coming since.
Nice.
And then the youngest we had, she was 8. Yeah. So literally all ages, all abilities. Yeah. And we also give alternatives for those who can't do something.
Progress, regress. You know, that's the sign of a good coach. What's the vision? What's the vision for Pump and Praise?
Let me not talk too much. No, okay. Do you know what?
Where do you want to see it grow to then? If you don't want to talk about the vision, if you want to, you can.
No. Do you know what? I've had a lot of, I'm very mindful to do things out of obedience and not ambition.
Okay.
I don't want to be like, oh yeah, I want to do this. And
you don't want to get greedy too soon.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, considering it's supposed to be like every 3-4 months and now we're coming up to 10 within 6 is more than I can ask for.
You must be really proud of that as well.
No, genuinely. Yeah. It's been something. Yeah. It's definitely been something. But obviously, even doing it in Manchester and Birmingham, that was not on my bingo card to do it so soon. Mm. So people have asked to do it worldwide. So, you know, figuring out logistics for that, but also actually doing workouts online for women to follow if they can't make the events, actual, like, you know, like YouTube videos they can follow and things like that. Yeah, so actually doing that, because then there used to be one called Sweating in the Spirit. I think it was like back in the 80s and the 90s. And people were like, oh my God, this is like Pump and Praise. And I was like, I'd never seen this, but it was a very similar concept.
Oh, okay.
So literally just doing that home workout videos that people can follow. So
nice.
Yeah.
So that's the journey. That's what you're looking to do kind of next. Open up that door to people that can't make it as much and people that are further, you know, an idea for you. You can always, you know, make it, you know, you just have a community base where it's like people all over the country, you know when you're going to different venues and then it's like you're posting it on the group and it's like, here you go, here's your session for the week or today or whatever. And, you know, you can, you build from there really, don't you?
No, that makes complete sense. And just to add to that as well, I've had people reach out to me wanting to do like cycling versions or spin class versions, obviously with weight trainings. I've had a woman ask, what's the term for pregnancy once? And I'm like, yo, I can be doing
Well, you know, there's no reason why you couldn't get to that.
Definitely, you know, definitely.
You've got the work rate for it. And I think the biggest thing is you mentioned spin classes. I have seen something similar online. Mm-hmm. Looked great. Looked like a real decent vibe.
It did.
I feel like that's something you could definitely cover.
Definitely.
But that is it for questions.
Amazing. Thank you so much for having
Brooke,
me.
Thank you so much for joining us. Super, super interesting and something very different that we don't usually have. So we really appreciate that. Where can people find you online? Tell us about the Discord. Tell us about the Instagram, the TikTok, the Facebook.
The
plug, plug.
We're literally Pump and Praise everywhere. That's on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube as well. And the Discord community, that can be found on our Linktree, which is again on TikTok, Instagram, LinkedIn as well. And there you'll find the links for our upcoming events, our Spotify playlist as well, because people are like, oh my God, what was that song? And I'm like, I told you, I said,
okay, so you do all of that as
all
well.
All of that, Spotify. Clever. And yes, the community link as well for the Discord. Group is also there as well on Linktree.
Amazing. Well, Brooke, thank you so much for your time. You have a great rest of your day, and I'll speak to you soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you so much. You too. Right, guys, coming up after the break, we're going to be doing some listener questions.
Couple Goals with Sophie Kasai and Jordan. You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
1 in 5 people in the UK are disabled, and it's not always visible. So if we've made ourselves at home in priority spaces on the bus or train, surrounded by our shopping bags or bikes, we could be making it harder for the people who need that space more than us. So let's not forget about the people we share our journeys with and keep priority spaces clear for others. Remember, it's everyone's journey.
When it comes to heart attacks, you might be surprised to hear the symptoms don't always feel severe. You could experience a squeezing across the chest, a feeling of unease, a sense something's not quite right. Don't be tempted to dismiss the signs and wait to see what happens. The faster you seek medical help, the better your chances. It's never too early to call 999 and describe your symptoms. Your NHS is here for you.
Death. Funny Business on FUBAR Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
We store so much of our trauma and our energy in our body. I am just incredibly, incredibly tired of keeping this trauma locked inside my body. And so all I needed to do is release it. You know, it's like going on a bender and drinking too much booze and you throw it up because you just need to get that out of your system because it's gonna catch up with you at some point if you don't.
Access all areas with Bobby Norris.
We are joined by Miss Safia. If I could produce you a salt, what is he like on paper? Sound like we're on Love Island.
Okay, on paper, my type has to have a good soul, good purpose and calm energy. I'm in my energy era where you've just got to come in and make me happy. I don't need you for anything. I wanna find happiness and I need him to be kind.
What the Health with Georges Bertineau, exclusively on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back to What the Health on FUBAR Radio with me, Georges Bertineau. So we're going to be answering some of your burning questions. So if you want to get involved, you can DM us at What the Health Show on Instagram. But first, we're going to be looking at some viral health videos and we're going to be talking about diet. So I have a series of screenshots for different, you know, supposed healthy meals that people have posted online and on TikTok, and I'm going to kind of break them down and see what's good and what's bad and rate them out of 10. So here we go. So I've got a dinner here from Steph. We've got brown rice and quinoa, fantastic carbohydrate sources, baby spinach, you cannot go wrong, full of minerals along with rocket as well, cucumber, great for packing out meals, filling out meals, giving it volume, super, super low in calories. Asparagus, I mean, aphrodisiac, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. So, you know, if you know, you know. Sauerkraut. Now, that is actually a, I swear that originates from Germany. It's a German food. Equally, very low calories and also really good at volumizing your meals. Carrots, great. If you can't see in the dark, open your eyes. But if you eat lots of carrots, it might help you see in the dark. And finally, tuna. Tuna is a fantastic high protein source, which I would highly recommend. This, if this is the kind of food you eat and a kind of meal that you enjoy, I would highly, highly, highly rate this. Probably an 8 or a 9. I would say it's not my preference. I wouldn't eat like this. But actually, I would probably say for the volume versus the macronutrients, micronutrients, and calories, pretty damn good. Like, pretty damn good. So, well done, Steph. Great choice. So, we've got a breakfast for a healthy gut, glowy skin, and energy. Well, I've got lots of energy, and my skin is fantastic, so I won't need this one. But, anyway, Naveen has gone for tomatoes, feta, eggs or pasteurized eggs, spinach, avocado, nuts, kimchi, green tea, ginger and turmeric, beetroot, and raw cacao. Right, this is a lot. This is pretty great, but this is a lot. I mean, I can see where you're going to get the glowy skin from. So, tomatoes, antioxidants, yeah, fantastic. I mean, for a breakfast, again, not my vibe, but definitely, definitely a good option. Eggs, fantastic. Feta, honestly, high protein. Everyone loves a little bit of fromage, so great choice. Spinach, again, super good for minerals, very good. You know, look, Popeye is a prime example of why spinach is so good for us. Great in protein as well. Avocado, fantastic source of fats. Probably the one thing that I would say to people, do not obsess too much over, along with the nuts, because nuts and avocado are high in fat. Things that are high in fat taste amazing. Super, super damn palatable. Tasty, tasty, tasty. But the trade-off is the macronutrient of fat is a 9-calorie macronutrient, which is super, super, super dense. It's actually over double what a protein and a carb is. So technically, tastes great. Can't have anywhere near as much, and people do get carried away with their nuts. They're super Moorish. They get carried away with their whole avocado on toast. Well, technically, a whole avocado is way too much, like dense in calories. But if you like it, eat what you want. Just understand portion size is super important. Kimchi, gut health. You got a green tea, which is great. Green tea is a fantastic option for metabolism, but also for keeping you kind of away from too much caffeine. So it's a great little option there. You know, ginger and turmeric, great. Beetroot, great. And raw cacao. Again, not my kind of breakfast, but if you like these kind of foods, I would have a large percentage of this, but I probably wouldn't have the kimchi or the nuts for breakfast, you know. But yeah, I would say probably an 8 again. Pretty damn good. So Naveen, well done you. You are a healthy individual. Right, breakfast for, what have we got next? I am just looking, we've got steak, eggs, bacon, it looks like 2 pieces of asparagus, 1 tomato, and potatoes. So, potatoes are the most incredible carbohydrate source out there. A white potato, if you buy white potatoes, cut them in half, shove them in an air fryer, fantastic. They are so good. Per calorie or per gram, they are incredible. So potatoes, big thumbs up. Eggs, fried eggs, depending on how you cook them, super good for you. Again, high fat, high protein, super tasty. We absolutely love the earth. I would say a big yes to that. Again, 2 pieces of asparagus. They look a little bit lonely on the plate. I'm not going to lie, guys. Just two lonely asparagus, but tasty, aphrodisiac. Tomato, yeah, great. Again, if it's a grilled tomato, fantastic. Full fat bacon, big no-no. Big no-no, just great, flavoursome, tasty, we get it. But for two slithers of full fat bacon, you could probably get 4, 5, 6 bacon medallions. Bacon medallion is just the circular part of the bacon with no rind. And no rind means less fat, which means less flavour, but you're still getting the protein source and the protein intake. And finally, the steak. What actually looks like a ribeye, I think. I think it looks like a ribeye. So it's going to be quite high in fats, but it's super, super tasty. So I would highly, highly, highly suggest. I mean, this is more of my kind of breakfast. I'm going to be real with you. More kind of my kind of breakfast. I would probably be a... You know, I'm going to give it an 8. I'm giving everything an 8. Am I okay? I think I'm okay, at least. This is apparently Big John's breakfast. So, Big John, boush. Right, next, we have got... We've got 2 slices of bread, some cucumber, some tomatoes, some spring onion, and what looks like cottage cheese. Looks a bit sad, not going to lie. Don't think this would nourish a newborn baby, if I'm honest with you, but we move and we would be able to work with it. It's like 250, maybe 300 calories, which is pretty sad. Maybe I wouldn't classify this as a meal. I would classify this as maybe a snack or something to kind of pick at, kind of keep you satiated, keep you full. I mean, I'd switch the bread straight up for maybe a muffin or a bagel or maybe some sourdough toast, because sourdough is the best one. There's a reason why it actually goes off. Again, cucumber, great for filling your abdomen and filling you up. Super low calories. Cottage cheese, great. Going to have some good protein sources. Tomatoes or tomato, potato, patata. Again, great, tasty, antioxidants. I'm going to give this more like a 5 just because, yeah, I think it's more of a snack than an actual meal. But hey, that's just me and my preference. And that we have got one more. So we've got a lunch. So we've got rice cake thins, basil. We've got baby spinach, rocket, canned tuna, Swiss cheese, and some cherry tomatoes and cucumber. This is pretty much like the first one to a certain extent. I would rate this. I would definitely give this probably a 7. It's, you know, again, tuna, incredible protein source. You know, you've got some leaves in there, you've got your spinach, you've got your rocket. You know, they are super tasty, super high in minerals. The cheese, again, gives it some flavor, makes you feel normal because you're actually eating normal people food. The tomatoes, like I said, antioxidants. The cucumber, equally as good. And the rice thins, I think people demonize rice cakes and rice thins. They have done absolutely nothing to us. We should eat them. We should enjoy them and understand that a rice cake is 60 calories, okay? We get larger by eating too many calories. That is the science. It's fundamentally proven. You lose weight if you eat less calories than you burn and your body needs, okay? So if you struggle with calories in versus calories out, you don't move very much, the only way you can manipulate that is via a healthier diet. So having rice cakes, and I'm going to say this honestly, and I'm going to say it with chest, rice cakes will save your life. They are tasty. Put whatever you want on them. Put a little bit of peanut butter on them. Put a bit of creme fraiche. Philadelphia, lightest of light. All of a sudden, it's not a boring rice cake. It's a flavorsome rice cake. And Snacker Jack, you may endorse me. You are fantastic. We love you. Guys, right, that is it from me today. Just a roundup of the show, and a thank you to the guests for their time. A massive thank you to Charlie, and not Chris. Sorry about that again, Charlie. And Brooke, who have joined us today. Very relevant topics and super knowledgeable guests. So thank you again for joining us. a quick reminder for you guys to download the app and listen each week. You can follow us on social media. We are What The Health Show on Instagram. If you're wanting some help with your health and fitness journey, I do provide a top-tier coaching service, which separates me from the rest. Real support, real hand-holding, real achievable results. So if that's something you'd like to discuss, then please reach out to me at GeorgeBert on Instagram. Just a massive thank you. I will be back next week at 11 a.m. for another jam-packed show. I'm George. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. Love you. Bye. Bosh.